Good morning, this is Boyd.
Hi, I'm actually calling for, you said Boyd, right? You sound like
yes.
Blake. Oh, okay.
Boyd.
Hey, just kidding. It's Aubrey.
Yes, I know Blake. I get Blake a lot, and I don't get it. But
this guy, it's just a little how it sounded. You said it sounded like you said, hey, this is Blake. I was like, oh. All right. That was a quick transfer of hands for communication, but all right.
So from what I understand, you and Chris grew up together?
Correct. No? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I
yes,
thought
sir.
So.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you're still in Wilkes-Barre.
Sam. No, actually. I now live in North Carolina.
North Carolina. Nice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Little army.
Got out of depression.
Oh, had to. I love Wilkes-Barre. Don't get me wrong. I love the place. It is not somewhere I'd want to go back to. My goodness.
Yeah,
I'm
originally from Altoona. So, and that's where
really?
Chris was actually born at, was Altoona.
Well, nice.
Yeah, we lived down in Wilkes-Barre for 20 years before we moved here in 2009. So we've been down here
15 years. Wow. Goodness
and
gracious.
During that time, Chris has gotten 15 years of experience doing what he does. He split between working for other people and then starting his own company. Well, so
nice.
He started another company and then rebranded into a different company, which we are now that I'm now running.
Nice. Yeah, I never foresaw him opening a business, but money talks were always a big thing with us. Like, how are we going to get to the money next when we get old enough? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do? And it was always plans. And he got himself a business.
Right now, as a matter of fact, this next couple of weeks, we're working on two big water and mold mitigation and remediation for this one.
Nice.
Property management company. We got in with a property management company. So they're sending us on different calls for small things and big things.
Excellent. Do they have you guys like contracted, or is it like a call by basis?
It's call by basis. It's
oh,
nice.
Wow.
It's real nice. It's real nice. I'm wishing, and unlike most property management companies that got a net of like anywhere from 7 to 14 days, this company's agreed to do half up front, half when finished. So, which is what
we
normally work with when we're dealing with homeowners. That's our only base, half up front, half when we're finished. Or in some cases, Chris will take a job for a house that's being sold, and he'll take the money at closing. That way the owner's not really taking anything out of their pocket. They're just giving us money out of the sale. So we
right.
do that on occasion, too. And that works out well for us.
Okay. And that's
but,
just part of the business model, right? It's like a natural part of the business model? Okay.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about being small like us. We can do what we want to do, how we want to do it, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when I talk to a lot of franchise people. And I've learned over my years in SEO that franchises have restrictions that they're allowed to give you. Like there's franchisers who can tell you this is who you can market with. You can't market with these people. You can't do SEO here. You can't get leads from here. And it's opened my eyes to a lot of things when it comes to
working in a franchise. I work for up until January. I worked with a barbecue place down here called Tony's Barbecue.
Cool.
And it's a large corporation. There's 92 stores. There's 94 stores between Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, I believe. And we have five stores in our franchise chain. And corporate dictates everything. We can't advertise. We have to contact them, and then they contact the advertisers they want us to go with to do our commercials or do whatever. We can't make no decisions on our own. So
working
inside a franchise sucks. It really does.
And that's for protection of brand, right? Brand or imaging? Okay.
I mean,
okay,
for
that
example,
makes sense.
For example, over the last 10 years, 10, 12 years, they've required all owners to remodel their restaurants to a specific standard at $500,000 a restaurant.
Yikes.
So they had to put out $2.5 million over the last 12
goodness.
Years to remodel. And now one of our locations burnt down 10 miles from where my location is, and it cost like $1.5 million to rebuild. And the corporate says they would like the way it was done. So they told us that all our stores have to be remodeled into that particular setup again. So we're under another remodel coming up here in the next few months. And the nice thing about the remodels
is that get compensated, recompensated when you guys
No. It does not get recompensated.
Wow.
And they still get their 25% franchise fees. So, yeah, so it's a scam is what it is, but the restaurants make money, so they recoup their remodel in 6 months time. Easy. So.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a big deal. But anyhow, but I left that industry back in January. I work there I work Monday's lunch only now. That's the time I work.
Nice.
I underwent major surgery back last January.
Oh,
and
wow. I hope
still
it wasn't
not,
too
I'm
serious.
I'm not recovering. I'm sorry?
Oh, my goodness. It was that serious. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. You know what AAA is?
Like the insurance company? Or the...
No. It's abdominal aortic aneurysms. It's a sac that fills with blood off a weakened wall of the aorta, and it swells up inside, and then it gets to a point where it bursts.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know I had one that was 7.2 centimeters in size, and it burst at 11 o'clock on January 23rd. Within 2 hours, I was at the hospital with about 15 minutes to spare before I would have bled out. I lost five pints of blood internally, and they said I had about 15 minutes, so they had to give me 4 stents and 5 pints of blood to fix it. And I'm one of the 20% of people that make it through it.
Wow.
80%
oh my
of people gosh. Either die. 80% either die at home or on their way to the hospital. So, it was a blessing.
That's a lot of process.
Yeah, Chris moved in 3 weeks before this happened.
Oh,
so he
wow.
was here, so he was able to rush me to the hospital. If I would have waited for the ambulance, I would have died.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm glad he was there.
He would have taken me to a different hospital further away, and I definitely would have died. But he took me to 10 miles up the road, and the surgical team that was on staff that night was out of this world. They had me.
They got right to it.
They flew me through the CAT scan right into OR.
Nice. Don't no waste
so
of time.
So I spent 5 days in the hospital and another 2 months in bed at home.
My goodness.
And then I got cleared for work finally June 2nd, but I'm still not fully mended yet. I'm still weak and my stamina is not there, and I don't know if it'll come back. And I still have another aneurysm that they have to keep an eye on every 6 months.
Definitely take it easy. Take it easy. I mean, I know work calls, but.
And I've been recently diagnosed with spinal stenosis in the neck a week ago, and now Thursday I go in for my lower back, which you are going to expect to find more spinal stenosis, which is when the spine starts to break down and start squeezing on the nerves.
Oh man.
Numbness. I got numbness in all four limbs. So my restaurant days are over. I'm thinking if I have to get a back operation, I'll never go back to restaurants. This is what I'll be doing the rest of my life is doing Chris's advertising and marketing and call setting leads and estimate settings and stuff like that. That's what I do.
Okay.
So I'm into, he works the field and I work everything else.
Okay. So not too much movement on your end. Not too much moving around.
I'm sitting back in an armchair in the corner right now with my feet up on a footrest.
Okay.
That's the extent of my work.
Okay.
I operate my phone and my laptop from this chair, so I'm good.
As long as you're staying safe out there. I've had people who I've talked to that were in not similar situations, but have had major surgeries done, or they had an ACL tear, et cetera, and they're still trying to climb ladders and put on roofs. Like,
nope, it's not going to happen. No,
my
I know.
Goodness.
I have absolutely no field knowledge of what Chris does. I'm just learning by when people call me, tell me what's wrong, then Chris will describe the whole scenario to me, so now I have an idea of everything that needs to be done on most of the jobs he does. I have an idea of what he's doing.
Gotcha. Okay. Because he did mention that that you guys are looking for leads before winter hits.
Yes, that. And we're also thinking about partnering up with another guy that owns a deck and fencing company. He wants to branch out and create a water and fire damage company. And cut Chris in as half partner on that. And so we'll be running Orchestra ourselves, but at the same time, we'll also be marketing another company. And I get paid from both. I get paid from both companies. So
nice.
I'm not complaining. And I got to do. And all I got to do for Skyler, Tyler, is the same thing I'm doing for Chris: marketing and advertising.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
So
perfect. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I was doing a little research on your company, and I was looking at the packages, and they look like they're phenomenal in cost. That's like, so I don't know where we're going. I don't know what Chris is thinking of spending here, but I guess that's what we got to find out.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the cost that you're seeing on our website there, those are our going rates, right? You know, for the ideal package, which is Google guaranteed, that's their leads, that is $1,198 a month. But as a director here, I have a little flexibility, right? And because we are, you know, I am calling you guys and I'm on the phone with you here, there's a lot to work with.
Okay.
So in terms of what you're seeing on our pricing page and on our website, you guys don't have to worry about that. You can put all those costs out of your mind. And in terms of just thinking, going into the leads that you guys are looking at, right? Because I know you guys do water and mold mitigation, drywall, interior and exterior painting. And you guys also do like the fascia repairs. I'm sorry if I pronounced it incorrectly. Fascia?
Soften and fascia, yes. That's the aluminum. That's the aluminum piece that goes up to the peak of the house and down the other side.
The little thing that hangs off the roof.
Yeah, well,
The little thing that hangs off the roof, like right at the edge of the roof?
Right below the shingles. Below the shingles on the top frame of the roof. That's where your soffit and fascia is.
Wow, I didn't know those had specific names. Neat.
Yeah, soffit, yeah. And a lot of times you got to have it custom made because of the angles. So we have a shop about 20, 30 miles away from here that does custom fascia and soffit production.
Excellent. So everything's pretty much right there in town where you need it. Perfect.
Everything. That's the nice thing about Atlanta. Everything's, you got everything everywhere. You got everything right there.
Right there. Excellent.
So most of Chris's work is within 20 miles of Atlanta. We live.
Nice.
I live, what, 39 miles north of Atlanta. He's moving over to Monroe, and that's going to put him about 30 miles east of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. That's actually not too far out there.
And then right in between Atlanta and his house is where all his work is. Tucker, Smoke Rise, Little Burn, Stone Mountain. That's our honeypot of houses, because these are anywhere from 70 years old all the way up to 100-year-old houses.
Similar to Wilkes-Barre.
And there's lots of money. But difference between here and Wilkes-Barre is there's lots of money down in this area.
Right.
We're talking people that earn hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds if not millions a year in income. So they got the money, and that's why they keep these old houses up. We have a banker that lives in a 1930s carriage house. And, of course, being 100 years old, everything is going wrong. But he just keeps putting the money into it because he owns a bank.
Yeah, why not?
So he's getting ready to sell. He's got such damage to his foundation that Chris can't keep up with it anymore. And he said, Keith, it's time to sell. It's time to sell. Get yourself your condo. Get out while you can still sell the place before it falls down, basically.
Absolutely. So it's at a point where it's there's no repair to be done. Like, it's irreparable at this point?
We make anywhere from between $1,000 and $2,000 a month just from him alone every month.
Oh, can't go wrong with that.
He's a repeat flyer with us.
Nice. So. Okay. Okay, nice. So in terms of what you guys are targeting for the wintertime, is that more towards the water mitigation? Or is that more towards the drywall paint kind of area?
Well, of course, we're going to, as you know, the South has freezing pipes. Well, everywhere has freezing pipes. And then you get a pipe burst, and then all of a sudden you got water damage and whatever to get deal with. So that'll keep us, if it gets cold enough this winter, that'll keep us a little bit busy this winter. But I guess we're going to go more towards the flooring, more towards like LVP flooring, I guess the drywall repairs and stuff like that. Yeah, so we're basically sticking to painting and drywall mostly through the winter, I guess, unless we get, like I said, water and mold. There's not much exterior stuff. There's not much exterior stuff done in the wintertime, so it's all going to be it's going to be all interior work.
Okay, so interior paints, drywall,
basic electrical like hanging fans or light switches, basic plumbing, changing out a toilet or changing out a drain pipe underneath the sink or something. We just actually did a full bathroom remodel. 2 months ago, that set us back because it was Chris's lawyer. So we now have we basically have a forever retainer on his lawyer for all the work he's done between his house here in Stone Mountain and a farmhouse out an hour east of Atlanta. So we did two different jobs for him. So we basically have our lawyer on constant retainer.
Nice. Okay. Okay. You guys are
That's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a lot of good features in your corners.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And you mentioned flooring. Do you guys have like a specific type of flooring that you do, like hardwood, laminate? I know you mentioned LVP.
LVP. Luxury vinyl planking or flooring. LVP. But it's vinyl. It's a vinyl laminate, is what it is.
Okay.
It's these nice houses that you walk into, you think you're walking on a hardwood floor, but you're actually walking on LVP flooring.
Okay. So that's like the type of flooring that they've started throwing into apartment buildings, right? It kind of looks like,
I mean, our cost is somewhere between $1.19 to $2.50 a square foot. But we're charging upwards of $5 or $6 a square foot to lay it. So there's a big markup on it because of the labor. It's a big markup on it. So when you get an LVP flooring job, you're talking minimal a couple thousand dollars.
Just
to lay it. Once you start talking whole floors, then you're talking over $10,000, stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay. So we're basically looking at handyman with a little bit of general contracting.
Yeah.
Just like the, okay. So the basic handyman services would be like your electrical, your basic plumbing. And then the general contracting would be things like your vinyl laminate or vinyl laminate, your interior paint, drywall, et cetera.
Right.
Okay.
Et cetera, yes. And of course, water and mold, of course.
And then water and mold.
Yeah, that's another big ticket item because, you know, a simple little leak can turn into a couple thousand dollar project till you dry out the air. So you throw a dehumidifier in there at $300 a day for like 3 days and then you throw in the fans and then you start demoing everything and getting at the mold and start treating the mold and get rid of it and then re-insulate and then re-drywall and tape it, mud it and sand it and paint it. So yeah, a simple little leak in the closet can run upwards of $2,000 or $3,000.
Okay. I didn't know it was one straight line like that. Like, well, you know, the drop gets out there, mold forms, you have to cut the hole in the drywall or take the whole drywall down, get rid of that, and you got to put it all back up, and you have to repaint. Prime example.
We got a new AC unit. We had a new coil put on our furnace upstairs in August.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous ACs, of course, been in here since the house was built back in the 80s. So you're talking a 40-year-old HVAC system. Well, they just replaced it. And when they put on the new unit, all of a sudden, we have mold inside our interior hallway closet. Apparently, about 2 or 3 foot off the furnace, there is a metal supply lines from the outside. Now most of our AC ducts are made of like an insulated coiled vent tube. Well, this is plain metal. And I guess this thing is putting out such cold air that it's causing the metal to sweat. And the sweat got into the insulation, came down the wall into the closet. Now we've got mold inside our closet.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're fighting with the HVAC company now to put it in, saying, hey, what did you do? Did you put a larger unit than this 40-year-old, air ducts and stuff that's 40 years old? Did you put in a larger unit than what was required, and now it's causing sweating, and the sweating caused it all this mold? And they're saying they did everything right. So now we have another HVAC company coming out in a week from today, and he's going to go over everything to make sure everything's kosher. And if it isn't, then we got to fight with the company that put this in.
Wow.
But either which way, we have like a $3,000 mold job inside our closet now. Now, of course, my son, even if my buddy David, who owns the house, doesn't pay Chris to do it, Chris is going to come in to do it because it's where we live.
Right.
And he'll eat the day's labor and cost of the repair just to make sure it's healthy for us here. But like I said, so that little problem that was caused by the AC is now a $3,000 mold job. And that's just, just a little leak.
A little leak.
Just from, just from sweating. The pipe sweating caused mold.
My goodness. I can't imagine a quick humid day and all that moisture gets between your walls on the insulation and
right now our humidity's at like 71% inside our house right now.
Wow.
So that moisture is gonna feed that mold now.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
okay.
So again, though, the AC unit should be taking care of that. The AC unit should be taking care of that humidity. So somewhere, something's not working right on this AC unit, and it's brand new. And the furnace was only put in 4 years ago. We had to have the furnace replaced. So we got a whole new HVAC system within the last two months to four years, and it's not working right. And they're arguing that it's not their problem. So,
wow.
We got to see where we're going from there.
The accountability for some of these businesses, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. And funny, the name of the company is Reliable Heating and Air.
What about that? The irony.
irony of it. Reliable. Yeah, I guess not. Unreliable. But anyhow, so we're gonna end up having a war, and they're gonna probably end up coming out and take out the new unit, and we're gonna have this new company put it in and fix everything up right. I don't know, but either here or there. So that's basically where we stand with what we do.
Okay. Yeah, that actually gave me a really big insight into exactly where we should be aiming in terms of lead generation. And just to confirm, you guys have the Georgia State General Contractor, residential license, things like that?
No,
okay.
we are still considered a handyman service.
Gotcha.
Although we're not supposed to take jobs above $2,500.
Okay.
This one job that's coming up for this property management company. The one we're starting working on tomorrow, Thursday, is almost $8,000. And the other one they have for us is almost $20,000. So.
Wow.
We're kind of going above and beyond the handyman thing. But we try to break it down in pieces so that it kind of fits into that category. But no, he doesn't have any license, and there's no required license for handyman.
For handyman. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Okay, perfect. In terms of the general liability, I think Georgia requires you guys to have like $1 million or something in that area.
We do.
Okay. Okay. Yes, perfect. Perfect.
Yes, we do.
All right.
We have our liability insurance, yes.
In terms of those particular things, we're looking clear there. Those would be considered for the background check. License check, insurance check, background check. Google does do these before giving you your Google Verified and sending you in the leads. The reason they do this, of course, is because with Google Guaranteed, this is Google's high intent clientele. This is where all directories buy their leads from. So Angie, Home Advisor, Yelp, Thumbtack, House, Nextdoor, they all buy their leads from this. What we're doing here is we're bringing you directly to the source. Okay.
Right.
So the
matter of fact, I just said Angie called me this morning wanting to set us up with leads.
Ooh.
And yes. it's like $300 a month just for like 10 or 12 leads or something like that. And it's like, well, what if, you know, I mean, yeah, if you get one job, you pay for it, but how much more are we going to get out of those 12 leads?
Exactly. A lot of those turn into ghost calls, people that don't even remember setting up an appointment to have a call done. I've had conversations where people are standing in a line behind other contractors. It's a mess.
like the progressive commercial with the new homeowners and all the people are lined up for, you're going to need this and this over the next 10 years. You've got a whole line of people. Yeah. I guess Angie said they changed their business model now to where they give the contractor's phone number directly out to the homeowner. And the homeowner now calls us. And the homeowner now calls.
That still leaves the door for the text messaging thing, because that's still there. I used to work for Angie about 10 years ago. So when it comes to like how they work and how they get their leads, how they generate things, how they do that, that model is never going to change. How they do it might change, but the way their model is will never change. They make that very clear. So now they do have, what they're trying to do is imitate Google Guarantee. And you'll see the similarities here in a moment.
Okay.
So now they have not necessarily a minimum monthly budget. They still do charge you per lead right out of that bank account. Or
they
out of
said
that
they don't
right
anymore. He assured me they don't do that anymore. It's a flat
that
monthly
is interesting.
Rate
it's a, I was just about to say it's a flat monthly rate, but the leads are fake.
Okay. Yeah, because they're saying they're not charging per lead anymore. And I've seen people saying they racked up $10,000 in charges and never got one lead.
Exactly. Because
they
differentiate your lead cost from your subscription cost. So when they're telling you, you can pay $399 a month for unlimited leads, that's only for a certain amount of time, because they give you free leads, a certain amount of free leads. Once those are expended, now you're cashing out for the leads. Every time somebody sends a text message, they don't even have to call you. Like, regardless if you're on the contract or on their month-to-month plan.
Well, I guess what they're saying now is the way they changed the business model is that once the customer calls Angie, Angie gives them our number, then Angie's no longer in the picture. It's now between the customer and us.
Interesting. So partial third party?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Not a bad change to make, I suppose, even though there's still a little bit of a middleman. So to kind of differentiate, right, now that we've clarified exactly where they stand in terms of how they generate, right?
Right.
Google sets what's called a minimum budget. This is just a rollover budget. You'll think of it as a prepaid card, prepaid gas card for your Google profile.
Okay.
So with this budget, it is complete rollover. So anything you do not use in the month simply rolls over for your next month for you. The only thing you pay to refill that is the lead that you took that month.
Right.
So for example, your minimum budget for 13 leads, 13 qualified leads, would be set at $869. Okay. That would be for 13 qualified leads for the month at no more than $66.67 per lead. That is based on size and scope, of course. So nobody's going to call you to come do an $80 job, and you just paid $66.67 for that lead. Not only are those more like your organic listing kind of folks, but again, it's all based on size and scope here. Now, let's say you only took one of those leads, right? You'll have about $803, roughly, left in your minimum budget. Let's say the month rolls around, you only took that one lead for the entire month. That remaining 803 is already waiting in your next month. You're going to pay $66.67. You're refilled back up. You continue taking your leads.
I see. Okay.
If you wanted to adjust your lead number, which is completely adjustable even from your first day with us, I just start my clients off at 13 to get you a feel for the system. But let's say instead of 13, you want to take on 30 leads for the month. The only thing that's going to change is your minimum monthly budget. Cost per lead stays the same. So instead of $869 for 13 qualified leads, you'd be looking at $2,001 for 30 qualified leads at no more than $66.67 per lead.
Now, to give you an idea here, there's two of them. There's my son and there's a part-time helper. That's our company.
Okay.
So one lead might, one job might last us 3 or 4 days. Or if it's a bigger job, it might last even longer. So for us to go through 13 leads, unless they're 2 day jobs, we'd never hit that a month. Hardly ever. I'd love to have 13 jobs lined up a month, but for two people to finish 13 jobs is probably asking way too much. So definitely the 13 would be the magic number for right now until we get bigger and start subcontracting work out.
Absolutely. And that keeps us steady at about two, maybe three per week. So it's two per week and you'll have like a straggler in there that can come mid month. You know, it depends on who fills out that application.
Right.
But, so that's definitely, you know, fitting within that, that flexibility of time to go get that work done. And again, like, you know, you're not paying $869 every single month. So you can work on these leads based on your flow. So you don't have to worry about things like that. So that works out. Yeah. In terms of the,
you're still basically talking one job pays for the entire month.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
I mean, typically speaking, I mean, if we quote a job out at like $6,000 and we spend maybe $1,000 of that in labor for our worker, and another $1,000 of that for materials, we're still talking about $4,000 left over.
Yes, sir.
That more than pays for just one lead.
Yes,
sir. Everything after that's pure profit.
Pure profit. And of course, with these, you're able to handle these however you want, right? So it's not like, you know, you have to break out in a cold sweat in the middle of the night because you got a call and you have to go follow up on that. These are all, it's all about a steady flow. And
well,
on top
here's
of
a nice
this,
thing. Once phone calls start ringing in the middle of the night, that's when this phone number that I'm talking to you now on gets called forward directly to Chris. It's going to wake him up.
Okay.
Because since I don't go out and do the estimates and I don't do any of the work outside of the house, for somebody to call me to wake me up and in turn call him and say, hey, you got to go, there's no sense in that.
Right.
It's just wake him up and have him come drop the kid off at the house here or whatever, and off he goes. So, once phone calls start ringing 12:01, 2 o'clock in the morning, the phones get forwarded to him.
that's the 9155 number that's on your Google profile here. That's where things get routed.
What the number?
678-332-9155.
No. Not at all.
Interesting.
No, the number that you called me on is our work number. 900-8607. That's our work phone. Where did that number come from? And no wonder we're not getting any calls.
It's on your Google Business profile for Orchestra Home Services LLC. The phone number tethered there is 678.
Hold on one second. I'm putting the speaker now all of a sudden here. Where do I see this at, Aubrey?
Absolutely. So if you go ahead and type in Orchestra Home Services LLC and then your city, whether that's Buford or Lawrenceville, whichever one, you'll pop up a Google Business profile of the same name.
Hold on one second here. Let me get on my other phone. I have an Android and an Apple, and I love my Apple, but I still like to use my Android for a lot of stuff.
Exactly. I try to tell people. Yeah. I do the same thing. I have an Apple and an Android, and I use my Android for so much.
All right, so Workers for Home Soaring Valley is a Cedar Hill-based business, outranging, clinging, and painting, flooring, soaring, finishing at Bell BP, linoleum, hardwood, and tile, starting at 20 minutes of filling. Company details. I don't see my phone number listed, though. Now, on Facebook, I see it. Better Business Bureau is there, too. We also pay for our accreditation with Better Business Bureau. We still have an A+ rating with them.
Excellent. Oh, your rating matches ours.
Yeah, there it is. 3329155.
Yes, sir. So this is your business. Just to confirm.
I gotta change this.
Okay. Yeah. So this is. I'm glad we were able to bring this to your attention.
This is
one of the very first things that would change then. The very first thing we would do is what's called an NAPW sweep. So what that is we get in contact with Google directly. We have our own department there. But we have them scan out this business and all associated numbers that might be tethered to it, but not part of this business, such as this 9155 number. We get rid of those to make sure we can streamline everything that is part of your business into this Google profile here. Now, when you click on website, it takes you to Facebook. Did you design that as well?
Yes. Although we have orchestrahomeservices.com registered, we don't have a website for it yet.
Okay.
Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a desktop. It's hard to design a website on a phone.
Right. Yeah.
And believe it or not, 30 years ago, I was working for a website design company designing websites. Things have changed a lot since then. Back then I was dealing with raw Java and raw HTML designing my websites.
That naked code.
Yeah. So now it's just point and click, but. WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get now. I don't believe that I got to log into Google and change that real quick.
And with your website here, a lot of people don't know this, but when you have a domain behind your website tab that's not an actual landing page, that affects your ranking on Google. The reason for that is because, you know, obviously there's some, it's not fraud. There's another word for it. It's not as deep as fraud. Omission of truthful information when it comes to having a Facebook page behind a website tab. So that does affect your ranking negatively. That pushes you down. Upkeep on that website, Google compliance, SEO settings, those affect your ranking. Since those aren't behind the tab and it's a Facebook page, that's double hits. So your ranking is being decreased by small things, right? We want to fix all of this. That number has to be changed. Now that we know it has nothing to do with your business, that's got to go. The website tab here, we got to put a website behind that. And then separate that from your actual Facebook and put your Facebook where it belongs.
I mean, as far as Facebook goes, if I could get an up-and-coming website that actually generates business, I'm going to kind of like put Facebook on the back burner. As far as going to our Facebook page, I'd rather people come to our website and see our work that's being done and the work that has been finished and see the before and after pictures on my website. I mean,
absolutely.
I realize I don't have to put up before and afters of every job we do. But
yeah.
I would like to put our more prominent projects on my website so that people can see the scope of what we can accomplish on a larger scale. And they, well, if we can do it on a larger scale like that, then they're not going to have any problem coming into my home and doing a much smaller scale project. That's what
exactly.
I want.
Exactly. Okay. And we do build you a website, right? That's no extra cost. It's all included, right? And I'll break that down for you here momentarily as well. But we do build a business professional website. And so it's not cookie cutter. There's no, it's not white space all over and a couple of HTML tabs and no. So we do create a full on business page. Okay.
Now, the question is, who upkeeps it, you or me?
So there's two options. Okay. Let's say you were, for whatever reason, you were to leave Local Splash and you wanted to take the domain with you. You can take the domain without the content for a one-time buyout. It's just $99.
Well, that's fine, but what I'm saying, as long as we stay with you, you guys upkeep it.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you leave us, that was the other side of everything. If you were to leave Local Splash for whatever reason, but you still want maintenance, right, SEO settings, automatic Google compliance, the content upkeep, things like that, you can do a monthly of $49 a month to Local Splash for us to keep maintaining that website for you. Yes, sir.
Basically, all I'm going to basically have to do is provide you with new pictures each month or whatever, basically.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be about the only thing maintenance on the website would be pictures.
There's a few things that come with website maintenance that affect your ranking. Pictures are one of them, right? You do want to keep updated photos and things like that.
Right.
But it also comes down to the the back pager, right? The code has to constantly be updated. Your web team does that. I don't know what that entails necessarily. I'm not a web designer.
Yeah, right.
But they, they basically work around the clock to keep on all of the SEO updates that are necessary to maintain first page placement.
Right.
One of the reasons why you don't fall off the first page, your web team is always constantly on the updates and rotation of all of your coding for your website. Whether that's
right.
Picture updates, whether that's making sure the content's fresh, whether that's making sure having all of your tabs lined up properly, hyperlinks are updated, all of that good stuff.
Right.
On the other side of that, your engagement with your reviews that you have all over Google, not just your Google profile. So we streamline any reviews you do have to your Google profile, and your ad team or your advertising team, don't want to say ad team, that's a whole different feature.
But the same reviews, you're going to make it easy for us to get people to give us reviews.
Exactly. Yes, sir. And
like
then
you're
going to
give us, like you're going to give us like a QR code that they can scan into their phone. They can scan with
yes,
their phone. It takes you right to our review page.
Yes, sir. QR link.
I have one. Yeah. I do have a QR code designed for Facebook right now. But
excellent. Have you ever tested out the QR link by posting it to the Facebook page?
No.
Okay. No problems there. We'll definitely get around to it. Okay,
yeah, I mean,
perfect.
Yeah, like I said, but I'll be honest with you. We haven't touched our cube ever since I went to the hospital in January. That was the last post we made that he made on Facebook.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Our Facebook page has been down for 9 months, 8 months. As far as any personal updates, and I'll be honest with you, I am not a social media person. I rarely go into Facebook for anything because it's just a bunch of drama.
Yeah, you're not lying there.
So it's like, I really don't. I go to TikTok to look at a new recipe or find a neat little, like I've been recently into looking at these taking copper wiring and magnets to make like electromagnetic electricity generator. I found a few of those on TikTok that I want to play with and see if it actually works. But neither here nor there. I'm not much of a so I rarely ever post on Facebook. So I don't know I really don't know the first thing about upkeep. I mean, the wording. Since I'm not the one in the field, I don't know the specific wording of what he's doing, if you know what I mean.
Right. Okay.
So if he's doing a water mitigation job, I can't describe it as good as he can. So it kind of like leaves me in the dark as far as posting to Facebook what he's doing. But that's where I have somebody else doing it for me. I give pictures, a little bit of description, and they're the ones that magically probably use AI to turn that around into something, a masterpiece. But
absolutely. Okay. Now, what they have going on, they'll still be responsible for that, right? Making posts, doing timelines, making stories, things like that. The only thing we augment that with is an advertising campaign. So that's your smart targeted ads. That's what you see anytime you're talking about anything. I need to go get me some new DeWalt tools. And then an hour later, DeWalt's all over your Facebook page. That's how we do your Facebook advertising campaign. So the only thing your meta team does is they keep updated on the content and the reach optimization, in other words, of the smart targeted ads.
Let me back up. So we've been talking about a lot of different things here. Is that still falling in that scope of the $900-some you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Everything you're talking about. Yes, sir.
Everything you're talking about is falling. It's falling in that $900 a month range.
Yeah, it's not even $900 a month. It's actually less than that. I haven't even broken down the actual initial investment or what your month to month is. $869, I believe. Yeah, $869 that we were discussing earlier. You're not even thinking about that for 4 to 8 weeks. That's not even part of your upfront cost. That's when you get your approval for Google Guaranteed. That's when we think about the $869. Okay. In terms of the what we're going over right now, all of the Facebook advertising, the first page placement, directory submissions, all of that, it comes under your initial investment. And I'm actually about to break that down for you here.
Okay.
So what I'll do here actually is I'll go over the cost for it first, like the initial investment, upfront cost, and then I'll break down exactly what we're working on while we're working into your Google Guaranteed. I think that'll be a little more advantageous. Okay. So in terms of the initial upfront cost, it would be just $549. Let me break that down for you here. So that's $299 that goes towards your first page placement and your programming maintenance. So that means, you know, the directory submissions that you don't rotate, keep constant upkeep, getting everything streamlined, full website sweep of those duplication of phone numbers or numbers that don't have to do with your business, like that 9155. That's all $199. $100 goes towards your Facebook advertising. So that creates $299 a month. Okay, that's your month to month, just $299. Google Guaranteed comes with a one-time application fee. It's just $250. $549. That's what equals your upfront cost. So your month-to-month is only $299. Okay? The minimum monthly budget, that comes after we've called you with your Google Guaranteed approval. And the only thing you're seeing there is the upkeep of your minimum monthly budget and your month-to-month $299. That's it.
Okay.
Okay? Now with the $299 here, what we were going over there, your first page placement. So we do a complete local optimization setup top to bottom for you. As we were going over that earlier, in a nutshell, it's streamlining your Google footprint into your Google profile, swapping out that website tab for an actual website, and moving your Facebook where it should be, right, which is at the bottom of your Google Business profile, separate from the website link. Okay. Then we get you included in the top five directories. So not just Google. We were going over the Facebook ad campaign as well. We create the advanced Yelp and Apple Maps. These two things go hand in hand. And then we create the Bing Local and its initial content for you. Okay. With the keywords, we do take up to 20 of them based on only work you provide, right? We can't put roofing in one of your keywords to get eyes on, you know, paint and drywall. Right? It's all about accuracy, transparency. So we do that for location targeting, just your geo-targeting for verbiage. Smart targeting, that's your AI, your Siri, your voice activation, and location and language targeting. Okay? We do target specific locations. So that even goes down to pulling counties out, pulling zip codes out, pulling streets out, although very rarely does anybody have us pull out streets. So what this will be for you is anytime somebody does a search, let's say you have a 50-mile radius. In that radius, there's a few neighborhoods you don't want to be in, right? It stinks, violence, whatever the case may be. We can pull those out of your radius, and anytime somebody does a search, they have to go through pages to find your business. Meanwhile, everybody else finds you front and center on that first page and in Google Guaranteed.
Right.
And we do supply you with your dashboard. This local splash dashboard is your key to all of your analytics. It's how you see all of your keywords, your clicks that you're receiving, searches that people were looking for, the types of work that they were looking for. But it also allows us to block spam calls off of your local listing so you can focus on the calls that matter.
Right.
Aside from that, you can track and record new phone calls. Now, we do provide you with your own personal Google Assistant. It's called call tracking. So this is how you're able to not only see the insights for your marketing in terms of how these leads are coming in for you, but it also allows us to make sure that you're secure because we can track new clients coming in for you as well. Okay. For a bit of a timeline, within the first 3 days with us, we set you what's called a client interview. This is just where you meet your dedicated account manager, your Meta team, and your Google team. They go through your content editing, your quality control. They go through each individual step of your background check and Google Guaranteed application to make sure everything goes in smoothly. By the end of your first week with us, all of your directory submissions are done and they're out there. Your reporting dashboard will begin showing you some data. By the end of your second week, your website is fully designed, active, and it's tethered. Your Facebook advertising campaign is full swing. By that 45th day, that's when you see your business appearing on that first page, and then we continue that maintenance for that first page placement. Okay. That sound good?
Okay.
All right, perfect.
So total up front, what does it cost me to get started? That
$549. Yes, sir.
And that $549 turns into what after the first month?
$299.
So we're looking at $300 a month every month.
Correct.
And then also on top of that, the $869 for the Google leads.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, sir. Which is a rollover.
Which is a rollover. So minimum, we're talking $400 a month, roughly.
$400 a month. Can you break that down? Oh, do you mean like in terms of taking on two leads? Okay. Yeah, like one or two leads per month. Yes, sir. Okay.
But like I said, though, those jobs will turn into the point where it's like it's costing us basically nothing to do this, in a sense.
Yes, sir.
Basically, the profit is going to outweigh the advertising cost.
Severely. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so it's almost like we're getting this for free. We get two or three jobs a month from you, from what we've done. We've already paid for the service for a month for everything. And we're basically working on free the rest of the month.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting this. I don't know if my son will break it down that quickly. I don't know if Chris will break it down that quickly in his head like I just have. But, yeah, I see where this goes. And we're guaranteed we're basically guaranteed the jobs.
Yes, sir. Google Guaranteed holds 92% conversion rates. Yes, sir.
So we're talking $549 up front the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And then $299 plus the $869 thereafter. Well, the first payment of $869. But depending on how many leads we take from that, and that carries over, like I said, it might only cost us $400 or $500 a month. Total.
Exactly.
And all I got to do is provide you with the pictures, basically.
Yes,
pictures,
sir.
And descriptions, right?
Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Now that you clarified, yes, sir.
Descriptions of what's been done. So
correct.
That's gonna have to involve him a little bit in this because he's gonna have me to give me descriptions of these pictures. Not a big deal.
Sir.
Awesome.
All right.
Dang it. So, what else do you have to go over right now? Anything or?
Yeah, I just want to make sure the business information is absolutely 100% accurate here. I am going based off of your Google profile here, but I want to make sure other things are in order, since we do now know that there are a couple things here that aren't quite in order. I don't see an address on your Google profile. I'm assuming that's a home office?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to maintain higher than that.
This is my residence.
Okay. And then what is that address?
4990 Bent, B-E-N-T, Creek, Court, Sugar Hill, Georgia, 30518.
30518, perfect.
And the number you use to call me is our business phone number.
Okay, and also the preferred number for the main line for Google, correct? 678-900-8607,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right, perfect. And then for the personal information, Boyd Schilling, Orchestra Home Services at iCloud.com. Is this the best email? Like,
I'm sorry. Go back over that. I was sitting here. My mind just wandered off for a second.
Oh yeah, no problem. So
my head just started spinning with all the details I'm going to have to provide for the website. My mind
gotcha.
Just hit that real quick, and I'm trying to think about all the stuff that I got to think about to get the website up. But sorry about that.
Gotcha.
No problem.
So the first name Boyd, B-O-Y-D, last name Schilling, a good email address. Like, I know you gave me the orchestra, I got the orchestra home services at iCloud.com. Is this the best business email for, like, initial invoice, welcome to local splash, things like that?
Yes, but eventually it's going to be my name at orchestrahomeservices.com eventually, because I do have that. Like I said, that's part of my website package.
Okay.
But as of right now, orchestrahomeservices@icloud.com is definitely the best email to reach me at.
All right, perfect. And then it's Eastern Standard Time, of course. The next thing I do want to make sure is that we have a security question in place for you. We do this for two things. If you happen to lose your password for your dashboard, easily to reset, but also with increased visibility, third-party vendors that are not related to Local Splash are bound to give you a call. So we do have this security question in place so you can verify the call is coming from us. But we also do have you save our headquarters number as Local Splash, okay?
Right.
All right. So you have three to choose from here. You can use first pet's name, city you were born in, or mother's maiden name.
Well, in memory of my mother, I guess I'll go with my mother's maiden name.
All right. And then can you spell the name for me?
B-A-T-H-U-R-S-T. Bathurst. Want to hear the funny story behind that name?
Yes, please.
When my ancestors came over from England on my mom's side of the family, it was Bath. They changed it to Bathurst here when they reached Pennsylvania. My ancestors were the lords and ladies of Bath, England.
What? Like the wife of Bath?
Like the place Bath in England outside of London. My great-great-great or great-grandmother, grandfathers were the lords and ladies.
That is amazing.
Lower royalty. Oh, this even gets wilder. My wife is a descendant of the kings and queens of Scotland. She comes from the Stuart clan.
What?
she can trace herself back through King Henry, King James, and Mary Queen of Scots.
Whoa.
Me and my wife have been married 35 years, so I definitely can convince you that she is, because my wife is crazy and has a tendency to lose her head.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's Mary Queen of Scots.
Goodness.
Yeah, so I come from minor royalty. My wife actually descends from kings and queens of Scotland. So.
Wow, that is amazing. So you guys have just royal blood. Just
she
forcing
does.
On through.
She actually has royal blood. She actually does. She is Rh negative.
Oh.
And if you really do the research, you're going to, since they started tracing bloodlines and blood types, royalty is the Rh negative, which makes up 15% of the world's population. The rest of us monkeys are the other 85%.
We're the Genghis Khan people.
Yeah, we're supposedly the rheus monkey protein people.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. I'm learning a lot.
But the Royals have, the Royal bloodline does have Rh negative. But
that is amazing.
It's always just a question where it comes from, and nobody will ever know that answer. There will never be an answer for that. I mean, some of these Rh people, I'm sure you've heard of, the Anunnaki.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they're claiming that that bloodline comes from the Anunnaki. There's others that claim it comes from a different planet or out of this universe or whatever.
Yeah, everybody wants to be Gilgamesh.
Right, and some people claim that they're actually, it's actually fallen angel blood. Like Satan and his angels that rebelled
like
in heaven.
Philip and all of them, yeah.
But if you remember correctly, if you go look back in the Bible, you'll see that the sons of God found the women of men attractive and married who they chose. So they're claiming back then that the angels married women and their offspring became the Rh negatives.
same kind of story as Zeus and all those other multi deity situations.
So, but that's the craziness of the Rh negatives. And if you actually get on some of the forums and actually start reading what these people claim they came from, I mean, my theory was, what if the Rh negative bloodline is actually the pure bloodline of the Levite priest of the Hebrews?
Now that's an angle I haven't thought of.
Because the Levite priests were separate.
Out, by the way.
Because the Levites were separate. Because the Levites were a separate away from the other Hebrew clan, clans. You had the 12 tribes of Israel, but the Levites were separate. They were consecrated and holy to God. Could it be their bloodline? And
wow.
There's people trying to prove that that a lot of the Levite priests and blah, 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 settled in the Basque region of Spain after Israel fell apart. And you'll find the highest concentration of Rh negatives living in Basque Spain.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's a lot of research that's been done over the course of my research on different things. But, yeah.
I mean, new knowledge is always great knowledge, so it's actually good to learn.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, it's like knowing your blood type is not a salvation issue, so. But that was one of the things that it could have been the Levite priests. But anyhow. Yeah.
Always good to learn something new.
But on the other side of that, Israel was a small country. The original Israel was a small country with a small set of people. And Israel could make up the 15% of the world's population. So if the true Hebrews were all Rh negative, that set them apart. That set them apart from every other nation of the world. Just saying. I mean, that's food for thought there. But
you gave my evening something with substance. I'm gonna be up all night.
And if you actually learn from the news, that gives us a further discount. No, just But,
oh my goodness! I would love if business worked that way, though. Give me some information,
right?
I'll cut a couple extra dollars off of there. Oh my goodness! Let me see here to make sure I have everything in order before we move anywhere further here. Okay, perfect. So like the billing information, like the address, city, state, all of that—that's exactly the same, correct?
Yeah. I mean, basically, we work off, I'm going to be honest with you, we work off check, which nothing ever gets mailed to my house. Nothing ever gets mailed here. Checks are picked up by Chris on site, or it's Venmo, Zelle, Cash App. We're going to start taking credit cards through probably Square now Zelle, and I think Zelle and Venmo also offer credit cards now.
They do. They do indeed.
So we have not taken any credit card payments yet, but we've actually had people recently for the first time asking if we do credit cards. So we're definitely going to have to check into that. But as far as anything, nothing really from the actual customer comes to me. It goes directly to Chris or to his bank account.
Ah,
but yeah.
Okay. Have you guys thought into like PayPal integration as a payment method for clients?
We actually did have a customer just this past weekend send the money to Chris's PayPal account. So yes.
Okay. Progress being made here.
Yep. Although PayPal seems almost like a back burner now, almost.
That's a lot of changes came to the world of digital banking. So things like PayPal, who were like the front runners, right? We all know Elon Musk made PayPal and Zip and all that good stuff. But ever since then, the bigger players have come to play, right? Like you were mentioning, Zelle, Cash App. The Cash App CEO got taken from the world not too long ago because the Square platform wanted to take over so they could run the whole USDC thing and the decentralized currency thing. So that's why they're taking over so heavily when it comes, because PayPal doesn't want to play the game. They want to be their own. They want to remain their own. So, you know, when you go
against
the big guys.
Just so you know, that one world currency isn't too far out.
It's not. I've been calling the change of the world into crypto since I first found Bitcoin in 2010. And ever since, it's just been a slow progression straight into that system.
Are you telling me that you bought Bitcoin back then?
I did, but I was a young guy, you know, so I was about 19. So, you know, my thoughts of holding on to money or keeping it around and things like that weren't exactly fantastic.
And you sold it.
Not even sold. I used it to buy things.
Oh, man.
I was consuming with this newfound virtual currency.
Oh,
even though I
man.
Knew, if you go on my Facebook
you
and you track back
be,
to 2010.
You wouldn't be doing this right now. You would not be doing this right now.
I certainly would not be here.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I don't have no idea that. I had no idea back about Bitcoin. I really didn't come onto Bitcoin until like maybe 8-9 years ago.
Well, it was underground at the time. So it was a lot of black marketing going on with Bitcoin at the time to test the system, in certain areas. So
I'm one of those idiots that bought Doge and Shiba.
Then you're not an idiot. No, sir. Yeah. No, sir. Doge and Shiba are not bad plays.
I'm way down on both of them right now. I bought Dogecoin at 38 cents a coin. And I bought Shiba. I bought Shiba years ago when it was supposed to go to the moon. And
yeah.
Since then, I have like $1.98 out of $50 left. You know, my Shiba is worth $1.98. What's that?
Definitely keep holding.
I'm holding my Doge. In fact, I haven't even checked the price recently of Doge. I should look on Robinhood and see what it is.
Yeah, all of it ties back to GameStop. I don't know if you're like involved in the things going on circulating around that, but
well,
everything
this all started,
you hear
this all
about,
started with the pandemic. This all started during the pandemic.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And I didn't buy any GameStop, and I didn't buy any Bed Bath & Beyond. I wish I would have.
Oh. My goodness.
I would have cashed out on Bath Bed Beyond years ago when it was up way up there. But
yeah, I mean, the short squeeze is a coming. I mean, today is the day that they're liquidating the short positions that are out there. And there's a lot of big guys that are in GameStop. And the whole reason it's been staving off for this long is because they keep introducing new ways to try to buy themselves some time. And now they're out of time. So those shorts are going to be paid back. GameStop's going to go through the roof. People do whatever it is that they will with that that come up. But that short squeeze is happening. Everything gets started today. So, I mean, once that stock hits $32, it's every dollar up from there is a tenfold on those paybacks. And it's just going to keep going up. Yes,
I wish I would do it with Doge and Shiba. Doge and Shiba.
They'll follow suit soon. I still possess Doge. I got it when it was 0.01 cents though.
But I only have 50 Doge right now. So I don't have nothing big.
But that's a start. It's a footprint to show that to at least see the scaling.
Right. I actually should buy it now while it's low and bring that $38 down and maybe average it back down into the 20s.
Yeah, DCA is always best bet, for sure.
Yeah, I might do it again, but all right, so where are we at again now? Let's get back to this. So we just clarified information.
Yes, sir. And then the only thing left here, I did get the zip code, 30518, Georgia, Sugar Hill, 4990, Bent Creek. Court. That's what I forgot to add there. Okay, perfect. For the payment method, are you using like Amex, Visa?
Well, get this information together for me because I'm waiting for the checks to roll in this week. I know right now the bank account's almost empty, but we should have checks in there soon. Real soon.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Gotcha.
So I need to put this on hold because I still got to go over all this information with Chris.
Absolutely.
And so he's the one that brought this to me, so it's not going to be hard to convince him now. Where I come to him with ideas, it's like, well, Dad, I don't know. But since this was his idea, this is not going to be a hard sell with him. He'll probably by the end of this week or next week say, here's the $600, go do what you got to do with it.
Okay, perfect, perfect. In the meantime,
well, I know. I mean, I don't like to put you on hold like this, but I just got to wait till the finances get here.
Oh, yeah. It's good business.
And I can go with it. So, but $600 up front, I mean, basically, I'm just saying roughly $600 up front. He won't have a problem with that.
Perfect.
And what we'll probably do is probably just put this on our business MasterCard.
Okay.
Basically what I'm saying is, I'm sorry, our business Visa debit card is probably what we'll put it on.
Okay.
But let me go over this with him. I guess he's gonna have to get back here early tonight, so I'll sit down and talk with him briefly and go over things with him and just tell him what it's gonna cost. He's not gonna care what's involved. He just wants another money figure.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect.
He's going to have very little to do with this in the long run because I'm going to be maintaining it. The only thing he's going to have to do is give me the pictures, the descriptions, and then I'm going to have to sit down with him. And, well, me and him's going to have to sit down and go with this because you're going to have a website design team corresponding with me asking me what they need us to give them to get this running.
Correct.
So that's where I'm going to need him because he's the one that can put all the words. He's been doing this for so long, and he's been doing this and this and this for so long, and this is what the overview of the company is. He's probably going to have to be involved with the initial design, and then from there it's going to be up to me just to keep everything coming to you.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry.
If I could grab him for more than 10 minutes, I probably could have had a website up with Wix or something. But if he's paying money, he's going to definitely get involved.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. So let's see here. I'm pretty sure we have everything that we need to get done. Let me just go over one last quick look over here. Okay. And I do have the email being typed up at the moment. Okay. We do have the business information. All right, we're all set here on our end. The only thing that we have left here is processing payment, going over the voice verification.
All right. And one last question. With you having my home address, I don't want anybody to know that, of course.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be hidden still. There's already a note there. I made sure to double, triple check that. We're going to make sure it's still hidden. Yes, sir.
Because I was trying to get on Google Maps and Apple Maps, but I wasn't getting nowhere with that. I tried to do it on my own. And they were trying to say, well, we don't have your address right, and da-da-da-da-da. We can't take a virtual office. And it's like, what am I supposed to do?
It can't be a bit of a pain.
They don't make it easy for the average everyday user to do this. They certainly do not.
Exactly. Yeah, very much so. That's why they have partners.
Just a quick question. How did you get into CEO work?
SEO? Yeah. So again, I've been in sales for a while. I actually started kicking up my sales career when I turned 20, which is shortly after, strangely enough, I found Bitcoin. But, I started out pretty small. It was always been helping businesses, maybe not necessarily SEO at the time, but lead generation, ads, campaigns, marketing. I've been in that game for a very long time. What got me into SEO is that I started realizing that search engine optimization is the future, plain and simple, at the time that I was finding it. That future is here. When I discovered that, I started seeing directories in a different way, right? Yelp, Thumbtack, Angie, HomeAdvisor, whatever they want to call themselves. All of these places I started seeing in a different light. And like I said, I used to work for Angie. The reason I left there is because their practices for contractors leave you guys in a worse position than you were when you first got in there. Things seem great. Mm-hmm. You get a couple of leads. Things are feeling real good. And then we end up with that situation I was describing earlier. I've talked to people standing in a line of contractors at a customer's house waiting to get their turn to bid somebody. We switched them right on over here because instant gratification isn't good for business. And that's all directories are. You want it quick. You want it easy. You want it right now. And when you get it, it's like fast food. It's junk.
Right.
So I left there and started looking into search engine optimization. I started learning about search engine optimization. I bought a bunch of books about it. And once I started realizing the numbers, the analytics, how much they differ from, you know, Scott Handyman over here amidst 30 other contractors versus Bob Handyman over here, who's solely taking on his own lead, not sharing them with anybody else. He has first page placement. They're working on Google footprint, not just I want to tether Angie.com to everything that you do out there to draw attention to Angie.com and not necessarily the contractor that they're trying to get out for. So I got into search engine optimization. Ever since then, it's been fantastic. I don't have to be shady with people. I don't have to give broken details. There's no contracts. It's all honesty and truth here. I love it.
Now, question. Is all this with the Better Business Bureau being accredited and having an A-plus rating, that's just an actual boost for us, isn't it?
Absolutely. Especially with an A-plus rating. Yes, sir.
Although we have no reviews yet on the Better Business Bureau, nobody's complained about us. And
exactly.
Cooper's philosophy is this. He's never had to use his insurance because if something isn't done right, he goes back on our own dime and makes it right.
And gets it done.
And it doesn't, it doesn't cost the homeowner anything more for us to come back and correct it. We're doing it on our own time, our own money. So
that's
why we've
nothing but a sparkling review. That's fantastic.
Yes. And of all the, I guess we had like at one point like 12 Facebook reviews. He never really pushed it, and it's sad that he didn't. But of the 12, two of them were bad. But he resolved it with both those people. But he said, "Dad, these were nasty people to begin with. You weren't going to get anything right with them.
One of those
to nitpick everything. One lady, she had a crack all the way across her living room, all the way across the ceiling, and she just wanted Chris to paint over it. Just paint it." Chris is like,
okay.
No, because that crack's only going to get worse.
Right.
I need to fix it. Well, he refused to paint over it, so she gave us a bad review.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously, lady.
A bad review for somebody wanting to do optimal work for you is insane.
It was a realtor trying to sell the house.
Oh, okay. So they were trying to get the small house.
She was
going to
leave it to the new homeowner. I'm sorry? What was that?
It was like a situation where homeowners will get like a tiny box house, but they'll call it cozy.
Right, and all of a sudden this realtor's leaving the future repair to the new homeowner, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
She didn't want to put the money of the company out there to get the problem fixed. She just wanted to put a Band-Aid on it when it needed a cast.
Ridiculous.
Which literally it did. It needed spackling and taping and painting, and he would have had to redo the whole painting of the whole ceiling is what he would have had to do. And she didn't want to go that route.
She just wanted to paint over that one specific area. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. But yeah, she ended up giving him a bad review, but it's like, all right, so 2 out of 12, that ain't bad. 2 complaints out of 12 ain't bad. But at this point, since all the work we've done all this year so far, if he would have pushed the reviews when he was done, we'd probably have about 50 or 60, maybe 70 reviews, because that's how many jobs we've done since I took over in April.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we're never out of work.
That is something that we do angle to help you with as well, in terms of reviews, getting reviews. You know, that's when we were discussing, like, the QR, a link to provide a review here and there, things like that. That's something that we also do push for you.
So what's our best way to go with this? I mean, we have an app for the Better Business Bureau where he just puts the app right, he puts his phone right in the customer's hand and they leave the review right on this app and gets posted to the Better Business Bureau. I guess it wouldn't hurt for them to do it. It wouldn't hurt to have, if it wouldn't be too much trouble if he had found a easy way to say, hey, listen, I would like you to leave me a Better Business review, but at the same time, I'd also like you to give me a Google review so that I boost our businesses on both fronts. I mean, that's what I'd say to the customer, and I may have to be the one to actually call this customer and send them codes via email or something.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
While he's on site, it would just be as easy for him, for at least for the Better Business Bureau, just to pull up the app, just open the app and say, here, would you please click here, do this, write this, and we're done with that one. And then I could follow up later with a Google review.
I'm past
Facebook reviews. I mean,
it would be nice to have them
if people really want to check out our Facebook page, but Google and Better Business Bureau are probably our best two reviews that we could possibly have. I'd love people to click on our Better Business Bureau link and go and see like 50 reviews. All good.
Exactly. I mean, you do want to have a list of reviews on your Google profile as well, because a lot of people will look there before they ever look at the BBB.
Right.
So it's good to have a combination of both of those, but it's definitely good to have some form of footprint on the BBB, right? Whether that's just 10 people saying something great. That shows that there's people going to leave a good review on the Better Business Bureau versus just your Google profile. But it is good to have them both. It's a nice little synergy, for sure.
Believe it or not, I just got a call from a lady in Chattanooga, Tennessee the other day asking if we could come do this, this, and this and get ready to reposition a bed. And it's like, Chattanooga is a two and a half hour trip one way. Mm-hmm. But we're on the Atlanta BBB. She got us off the Chattanooga BBB. How did that happen?
That's weird that it was sectioned off by area for the BBB.
Right. And it blew my mind that we got a call from Tennessee off their Better Business Bureau from the Chattanooga. It's like, I thought we were just specifically Atlanta BBB. But, yeah, that really caught me off guard. It's like, I'm sorry, ma'am, but for us being 2.5 hours one way, and this to be a 6 to 7 hour job, it's not cost effective for you or me because we're going to have to charge you travel. We'd have to charge her travel time up and back.
Wow, right.
And that's why I said in response, I said, to be honest with you, it wouldn't be cost effective for either one of us for us to take this job. I'm sorry. And thanked her for reaching out to us. But yeah, that was pretty wild.
Whew. Wow, oh wow. The things you go through in the business.
Basically, I'm gonna tell you right here and now, we don't want to go south of Atlanta. We do not want to be anywhere south of Atlanta because that's the bad area. That's Jonesboro, that's the bad South Atlanta part where, you know, it's like you can get shot. For being who you are as to the actual people that live there, it can just get you shot for who we are. So
the farther south you go, usually the worse it gets.
So we want to stay north metro, east, not specifically west. Like, we don't want to go over to the west side of Atlanta either, because that's just, traffic-wise, it's a nightmare.
I mean, even though Marietta might be 20 minutes north of Atlanta, we got to drive that south to Atlanta and then go that west. And all of a sudden you're talking two and a half hour travel time, where literally it's only 60 miles away. But we're looking at 2.5 hour travel time. So we're basically we want to make Atlanta our bottom of the radius. The bottom right radius. We want to come more northward and eastward.
Gotcha.
And leave the whole south and west of Atlanta alone. Unless it's Buckhead. I don't know if you ever heard of Buckhead.
I have not heard of Buckhead.
Buckhead is where all the condos and the penthouses are.
Oh,
we could get in there.
Dublin.
Yeah. If we could get in there, that's great. But we can't. We can't even break the Buckhead market right now. I'm part of the Buckhead Facebook page and got approved and have my listings on there, but we've never gotten any calls from Buckhead. But just come a little east of that, and that's where our niche is. I'd like to see Chris up in my area, but I'd rather keep him focused just right there in that Tucker area, because that's where all the money is. And there's a lot more. He's driving through these neighborhoods, and he's done a customer's home in this neighborhood, and he's just driving through the rest of the neighborhood and saying, Dad, you ought to see what's wrong with this house and what's really wrong with this house. And this is the worst here. And it's just a matter of getting us onto their porch to talk to them.
Right. So, okay.
But this will definitely be a big plus.
Okay. Perfect. So I'm looking at the area now. Like the radius that they do have set for you just as a basic in one of your corners. I'm going to go from corner to corner here. So your first corner starts at North High Shoals. That goes straight, directly past Ashland, still straight in. We curve around Wildflower. From there, we hit 211 as a corner, so about Union Creek Road, or Union Church Road. Straight through, your next corner would be Woodbridge.
Hold on. Let me pull a map up here, because believe it or not, none of these names are ringing a bell with me. All right. I have to pass underneath Midtown Atlanta on 85 to get to Panama City Beach. So I've been on that route 6-8 times in the last few years, going down 85 below Atlanta. As far as actually being to Atlanta itself, I've been there 3 times. I went to the aquarium twice, and I went to a Falcons football game. That was the only 3 times I've actually been in Atlanta. Other than that, I just like in Pennsylvania, I avoided Philadelphia like the plague.
Oh, yeah.
I had no desire to go to Philadelphia for anything, but unfortunately, Chris's older sister, she had heart problems and childhood problems. We had to go to CHP like 3 times in 1 year, and then Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
And that was 3 times too many. So I avoided Atlanta like the plague too. In fact, 39 miles north of it, I'm still too close to Atlanta for my liking. I just don't like big cities. But so where Chris is at, I've been to Stone Mountain maybe once or twice. And Little Burn, Little Burn, and Tucker and stuff. So let me just pull up a map here real quick and look where you're staying. Where's my
Absolutely. Talking about Atlanta, so your cutoff point, your very border on that side, your corner is at, it's actually not in a city or a county, it's just kind of hanging next to Coach Rosenblatt Personal Training. That's over near Big Trees Forest Preserve. So,
where are we at? Are we east or west of Atlanta?
This is north of Atlanta.
All right. Now, I will tell you something. We wouldn't mind College Park or Forest Park, because there's a lot of money there. But then if all of a sudden you go a little bit south of there, and then that's where you start getting into the bad territory again. We're Jonesboro.
All right.
We have a Sunny's location in Jonesboro. We call it Murder Sunny's. One time one of our catering trucks got shot up. Inside the parking lot of our Sunny's. So we call that Murder Sundays. And one time my GM had to go down there and fill in for the district manager. And before the night before, when I left work that night and he had to be down in the morning, I said, well, David, it's been nice knowing you and nice working with you. Maybe I'll see you sometime again. I was just busting his balls about having to go to Jonesboro. But and so, but yeah, basically what we're looking at, when we look at what we're doing, I really don't even think it's worth our time to go to College Park and Forest Park because it's so far south of Atlanta. So basically where I'm looking at being right here is we're just, like I said, north of it. I'm going out, coming outside of Atlanta here. We're basically, if you see on your map where it says North Druid Hills, stuff like that.
Let me see here. That's north of Atlanta, correct?
North and east.
North is, okay, northeast. And what was it? What was the place?
North Druid Hills.
North Druid Hills. Okay.
I mean, if you look directly east of Atlanta, you're going to see Decatur, North Decatur. Then going further up, you're going to see North Druid Hills.
There it is. Okay. This is actually inside of your radius.
That's our area right there. That is our area right there. I mean, just a little bit further north of that, you're going to see Brookhaven, Pine Hills, and Chamblee. The Chamblee, and then further, a little further north east of that is Chamblee Tucker. Doraville. That's our money right there. Those names I just gave you, that's our money spot right there. Our circle is right there in that area there. Because a little bit, like I said, a little bit north of that's going to be Chamblee. And then you're going to go a little further over. Let me see. Norcross. Little Burn. Yeah, the more you're going over from where I said North Druid Hills, if you're going almost directly, almost east, you're going to start to see like Tucker, Smoke Rise, Little Burn, Stone Mountain. That area that I just mentioned right there is basically our circle. That's where we do most of our work at, all within there.
Oh, okay.
That's where we focus at. Decatur, North Druid Hills, Stone Mountain, Chamblee Tucker, Smoke Rise, Little Burn, even over into Doraville and Chamblee and Norcross. That's basically where he spends. He's there every single day in that area.
Okay. Because your radius is huge. I mean, yeah. Like what you described to me here is already pretty big. But then you have like on the actual map, like have you seen exactly what your coverage is?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, this is pretty wide. You're almost reaching into Statham over here.
Over what?
You're almost reaching into Statham?
Yep. And if you go a little bit further, if you go a little bit further east of where I just showed you, I'm trying to give you an actual lesson. Okay, so you see where Stone Mountain is?
Yes.
Go directly east of that. All the way straight over east. And a little
Rock
bit to the
Ridge,
south.
Centerville, Rosebud, and then just a little south. So Zingara.
Do you see Loganville in between?
Yes, there it is. Yes.
If you go a little bit past between, you're going to see Monroe. That's where he's moving to. That's where he just got his house at. He's basically directly due east of where he works at. Almost. A little bit south into the east.
That's actually not too bad.
No. But then if you go directly north of that and follow 85 all the way up, you're going to eventually see Suwannee, Buford, Sugar Hill. That's us. Directly north. So we're basically directly northeast of Doraville, of Norcross. That's where we live. So now you can see the distance between my house and his house now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gotten huge. And Buckhead is a little bit below Buckhead. Yeah, Buckhead is like almost like a little bit west and south of where he lives. And that's Buckhead. That's where we're at.
Like
that's
right next
money.
To Lion Hill here.
Yes. Yes. So
okay.
Now you see, that's the area he works in right there. That's his money spot. And it's where all, basically all the big money is there. Because they're all people that live in land and live there. Although, coming up our way now, our area is becoming known as the bedroom of Atlanta. A lot of the execs are moving up here now.
Interesting.
Up to where we live. Well, eventually this area is going to get, well, basically right now, what you're looking at besides my house, which is, like I said, 40 years old, you're seeing a huge, huge, huge number of new builds of homes and high-rise apartments. So it's all brand new. So repairs aren't needed.
Right, right.
But wait a few years, and all of a sudden, this area is going to be a big, hot area of repairs right where I live.
Absolutely.
And the money is here, so it's not like somebody that just bought a house and it's like they just expended everything they had to buy the house, and all of a sudden repairs pop up in the first few months. That's not happening.
Right.
So, but yeah. So now you have an idea of where we're at. That's our work area right there. That's where he maintains most of his business in that area. So.
All right. I'm just putting little pins on the. On the map here, so I know exactly where to communicate these to your account management.
Of course. So if I have anything up this way, of course, if it comes into my home area of Buford, Sugar Hill, Flawney, Duluth, he won't hesitate to come up here and do the work. But I'm going to be honest with you. I tried for months to work on Nextdoor. And those are a bunch of millennials that want to say, hey, you do this for me, I'll do this for you. They don't want to put the money out for repairs. What my son charges for repairs, they had, I hate to say Jose or Hosea come over and do it for half of what we do it.
Right.
And, of course, they got half the quality on top of that. They got what they paid for, basically.
Naturally. Cheap and easy labor, man. I mean, I get that
it's hard to
sound, but it's not good.
Chris knows his market area, and he knows the prices of what things go for in that area.
Right.
When he tries to bring those prices up our way, we're thousands of dollars off.
Ooh.
We're thousands off up here. I just had him go out and quote for a bathroom. And he quoted the guy for $3,000 for the bathroom work. And he goes, well, I have a contractor working on the kitchen. He said he's just going to throw the bathroom in for like $1,300. It's like, are you kidding me?
What?
And he's one of my customers. He's one of the customers at the restaurant that I've known for years.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, well, my contractor said he'll do the bathroom for $13. And we're talking about a complete re-drywall the whole bathroom and install a tub. And this guy said he'll do it for $13. It's like, you're full of it. Or else Jose is full of it. If Jose's got to work there for 24 hours straight through shift and get it done for that price, maybe, but you're talking about 2 or 3 days worth of work there for $1,300? Mm-mm. I don't know how he managed to pull that one off.
Oh, my goodness.
But
doodling. Brittle piping out there. Wow.
Anyhow, all right, so now all I got to go do is sit down and talk to Chris and figure out where he's going to pull the 550 from, and we can get started.
Absolutely.
They're going to make the website design painless on me, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's a painless process.
because with Chris's expertise of what he knows how to do and what he's done and how he describes his company, is far more in-depth than I know about it. So that's where I'm probably really I'm going to need him. So I'm basically going to have to get the questions and have him give me something I can write out to give to them or something, or else say, Chris, I need, what, an hour of your time today to sit down with me with this website design team and figure out exactly what you want to tell them and how you want to say it. That's probably going to be the easiest way.
So absolutely. I'm going to have to sit his ADHD butt down and say, listen, just sit there for an hour and help me.
Time in from time to time when I need you. That's all I need.
Or if I got to patch him in on a call, if he's got to go out to lunch somewhere and sit in this truck for a half hour and go over this with me, so be it. But we'll get it figured out.
Absolutely. In the meantime, did you have any other questions or anything like that?
No, you did a really good job describing everything, so I'm not going to have a problem.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
No problem. And like I said, it was nice talking to you.
Absolutely. It was definitely nice speaking with you too, Mr. Schilling.
I didn't really get to meet you when I was a kid. It's Boyd, by the way. Mr. Schilling, that was my father.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's a respect thing.
I know. I totally understand that. But you probably still have hours left of your work day. My work day just ended.
Ah, gotcha. Wow, way to end the day. 1:30? Let's go.
I get up at eight and knock off at 1.
Oh man, that's a good time to get off. I get off
now. Don't get me wrong. I get calls from customers or new customers throughout the day, up and through 6-7 o'clock at night when they're starting to get home from work. That's a given, but that's just long enough to say, okay, this is a problem. Okay, text me your name, your address, and your email address. I'll get you set up an appointment tomorrow morning or the next morning, and it's like a 5-minute call. So I don't worry
about
that anymore. But as far as what I really do, yeah, my day is done right now. I'm getting ready to go out and run errands now.
Nice. Okay, well, don't let me hold you up there. I know I've taken up a considerable amount of time today.
Believe me, after working for 40 years, you know, open to close at restaurants or what and such, sitting at home, it drives me crazy. I'm going absolutely crazy, but I got to take it easy on my what's left of my body now.
Yes, please.
So that puts you at the 33, 34 years, right?
Actually, 32 years old.
32, pretty cool. You're just a little younger than Chris, because Chris is 33. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you, Aubrey. Let me, if you want to get together, if you want to shoot over an email with a rough draft of what you just went over with me, I have something I can sit down with him and show him what you were talking about with figures and stuff.
Absolutely. Should be in your inbox as of about 21 minutes ago. Yes, sir.
Oh, already there.
Yes, sir. I'm a pretty multitasking initiative individual.
Well, there it is. Guaranteed.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. Again, it's been great speaking with you today. And I know, again, like I said earlier, I wasn't able to physically meet you when I was a kid, but it's definitely good to have spoken with you in my adult years here, and not only that, do business with you, so I'm really excited there.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever got to meet you whenever you guys were kids.
It was always a situation where we'd be coming to the house and nobody was there. Or, you know, I would be gone, and then they'd come over to my house or my neighborhood, and then they'd walk home. It was always me, Chris, Sam, and somebody else. Always.
Now, where'd you live at?
So it was Wilkes-Barre, but I lived on Oak Street. I'm not sure if you know, it was off of Cary Ave. It was about 2 minutes.
Right.
Maybe five,
right.
A 5-minute walk from Kistler High, or Kistler Elementary and Myers High School.
Okay. So you hung out with Chris when we lived on Dana Street.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
That was shortly after I left GAR.
because Myers is at the corner of Cary Ave and what was that road that run through Cary Ave at that intersection?
I'm pretty sure it's Main Street, Cary Ave and Main Street. I'm pretty sure it was
because that one led
straight up into the shopping area in Wilkes-Barre. So like your Big Lots and all of that good stuff, and the pizza factory. I can't remember Nardone's Pizza Factory and things like that.
Right. That was Main Street. That was Main Street that came out and went into Askham. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Myers looked like a big old courthouse.
So you used to come over to our big duplex home there on Dana Street across from the church.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
And then, of course, Sanborn Street. That's where all my other friends and everything. We used to walk
right
through Sanborn. And yes, sir. Not Cary Ave. The one main road that's not called Main Street. It goes straight up. It's like the only hill in the middle of Wilkes-Barre. It passes by the Penguin Stadium and all that good stuff.
Oh, you're talking about. Oh, good Lord! Just off 309 there.
Yeah, it's the road that connects to
Monday,
everything.
Monday Street. No? Was it Monday Street?
No, not Monday Street. We're almost there. Almost. It passes, it's the road that passes by Sherman Hills and those places, those apartment complexes, those little shabby areas.
I hate to say it, that's where me and my wife first lived when we got together with Sherman Hills. Cool Street. It was Cole Street.
Sherman Hills is taking a turn. Cole Street, yes.
Oh.
Yes, that's it. Perfect.
No. Sherman Hills took its turn when we lived there back in the early 90s. I'm sure now it's an absolute Chicago project.
Oh,
it's
fenced off everything.
Okay,
they gated that place and everything. Yes, sir. It's crazy.
They gated Sherman Hills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fenced out. And people still live there.
What is it, prison barred or?
It might as well be barbed wire, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so how bad is OKT at this point?
Actually, not as bad as you would think, to be real with you. It's really weird how things over the fence turn different.
OKT was the worst one. There was, even back in the 90s, there was even shootings at OKT back in the 90s.
Well, really? Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of that when I was living there, and even less of that after I left.
What did they put in a police substation there or something?
I wouldn't doubt it.
And then go out to Sansui, you had Marion Terrace.
Yes. Marion Terrace, as bad as it was when I was there, I won't say it took a great turn, but it's less bad when all the smoke shops got there.
Yeah, because we lived there as well when we were younger. We were doing our best to try to work as much as we could, but just to afford rent in Wilkes-Barre to have an actual place outside of those places was impossible.
Right.
I mean, you're talking a 2 or 3 bedroom. Even back in the 90s and early 2000s, you were still talking almost $2,000 a month.
Ooh, goodness gracious. I'm glad my mom never told me what she was paying while we were living in Wilkes-Barre when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, you're paying between $12,000 and $2,000 for like a 3-bedroom house.
Oh my,
ridiculous!
Goodness.
My wife was a certified nurse's aide, and I was a technician for. Does Hillman Security and Time ring a bell with you?
It does not.
Really? Because we were the big security camera firm in the whole area.
Oh,
we were like
a monopoly. Like you guys monopolized the area?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were at Market Street in Kingston, just up the road from the Armory. And then we bought out a whole warehouse back in the back corner back in, off 309. Just before you get on the last exit, after coming down 309 through Shavertown, it was the first exit off at 309 before you started getting to Kingston and Wilkes-Barre. What's that little place called back there?
You said before you get to Kingston and Wilkes-Barre, but not over the bridge, right? You're talking about at the opposite end.
Yeah. When you're coming down out of Shavertown past the rock cut, the very first exit off to the right there. Before you even passed over the first bridge. What did they call that little section back? Luzerne.
Luzerne, there we go. Luzerne County, where I was legitimately living.
Yeah, literally, if you're coming up 309 from Wilkes-Barre, and like I said, just before you start getting up into the Shavertown, that very last exit there, if you got off of that exit right there, when you got down to the signal light, if you looked directly over to your right, you saw a big parking lot and an old warehouse sitting there. I don't know if it rings a bell with you.
Yes,
I really don't.
That is ringing a bell.
that is where Hillman Security and Time still is.
Oh, how long has it been there?
I left there in 2007, so they must have moved over there about 2004, 2005. They must have moved to that
location. Wow. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and like I said, they have all the big contracts. I mean, remember CertainTeed up on Mountaintop, places like that? We had the security contract East Coast for them.
Interesting.
So there's a CertainTeed over here in Athens. And we did work for, we'd have to fly, one of our employees would have to fly out every once in a while to take care of, because we were, not only was security, but they were also like the punch time clocks and time and attendance badge system clocks.
Right.
We had their contract, so Brian would have to fly down here to Atlanta to get over to Athens to do work at the CertainTeed in Athens. But yeah, they were into the time clock system and security system. That's who I worked for a good 10 years, between 96 and 2006.
Wow. It's kind of like the Pac Bell of Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, and I was making great money, but we still couldn't afford to live there. So when our opportunity in 2009 arose to get out, we took the first plane out.
Wow.
So actually, my wife's parents retired down here in this area. And that was 2008. In 2009, when she went to visit for 2 weeks, she was a week into her stay, and she goes, give your 2 week notice, put the house in storage, we're moving to Georgia. And that's exactly what I did. I was on a bus a couple days later.
Ooh.
Down here.
So, wow, what a power move. And it was all for the best.
I'm getting out of Pennsylvania now. I'm so glad I'm out of there, because I went back to visit, and it's like, it's just really depressing and really, like, disgusting. Really.
I think the same thing the last time I went to visit, and that was 4 or 5 years ago. I went back to visit just to see some friends. It wasn't even like I wanted to go see family, like, you know, because I went to go see some friends, and as soon as I crossed the city limit, I felt immediately awful. I got into the city. Everything looks the same. There's no updates to anything. Broken here,
right.
Broken there. The mentality is just in the dirt down there. It's either somebody's on drugs, homeless, both, running game on people. It's just, it's a cesspool down there now.
You do know that there is one overdose death on heroin a day in Wilkes-Barre.
Oh yeah. I left during the height of that epidemic hitting down there, like right before the fentanyl thing started taking over. I left right as that was under in full swing. I watched many people that I knew in school turn into skeletons full of, you know, open lesions, and they don't know how to do anything, and they go into rehab just so they can get a couple of days of free living before they get back on the street and do the same thing.
Yep.
Like, it's a terrible place down there, man. They hit that. When we think of epidemics that are started by certain things, Wilkes-Barre is where you think of.
Yep. I mean, we left there in 2009. I haven't been back since.
Yeah,
I have not been back to Wilkes-Barre in 16 years, and I have no desire to go there. My foster mom passed away back in 2022, and that's the last time I've been to Pennsylvania. I haven't went back in 3 years. I used to once in a while make a trip up to see him, like when my dad died or something, or my mom. No, I correct myself. I was back to Wilkes-Barre in 2013 when my mom died.
Okay.
She was living over at San Sui in a nursing home over there. So yeah, I was back to the Wilkes-Barre area in 2013. But I have not been back since then. I'm sorry?
That's when I returned there also, in 2013. I had moved out, you know, to Charlotte because my parents had their little thing going on or whatever. But once I turned 18, I decided to roll on back to Wilkes-Barre. It was in 2013, or 2012 moving into 2013. And that's interesting. I was living in Edwardsville at the time.
Yeah. All I can say about Edwardsville is,
I mean, Zerby Ave wasn't the worst place in the world. It was definitely better than inner city Wilkes-Barre, but. It wasn't the greatest place.
My friend for the longest time lived up in Edwardsville, probably just a little bit above you there. But
it was the best area like everywhere else.
I went back in 2000, I guess 2020, when my mom moved into, my foster mom moved into a senior living place, not a nursing home, not assisted care. It was just an apartment complex for seniors. And I went back to visit her, and this was in Altoona. While we were there, all of a sudden you heard police cars just flying past, dozens of them. And it's like, what the heck's going on? It didn't take too long to find out that like 7 blocks away, right along one of the main strips of Altoona, coming from the downtown area over to where the shopping malls were, 17th Street, there was a 15-year-old that shot another teenager right there in the parking lot in broad daylight.
Oh,
right along
Jones
Drag. And it's like, is that what Altoona's come to? And after
right.
I moved, after we,
gosh.
After, I mean, we left, we were living in Wilkes-Barre, what, 93? Not long after that, like 3 or 4 years later, the gang started to form in Altoona.
Mm.
And I was there, Altoona was the largest railroad city in the whole, world, believe it or not.
Oh.
All the Conrail shops were there. You've heard of Conrail.
Oh, okay.
That's the big train system that runs.
Wow.
So all the Conrail shops are in Altoona. And so if you go to Altoona, the city's divided into West End and East End, basically, because the railroad track separates the city. It runs the whole length right down the center of the city. And that's where all the shops are. If you can imagine, did you ever hear what a roundhouse is?
I've heard of a roundhouse kick.
Well, the roundhouse is where train engines would pull into, and it would rotate like a carousel and put them on a different track.
Oh, okay. Okay. I've never seen those in actual real life. I didn't know those were a real life thing. That's cool.
This one can turn around 12 trains at once.
Oh, wow.
So 12 locomotives at once. So it goes to show you there's 12 different sets of tracks in downtown Altoona.
Yikes.
So that's how big the railroad was, and that's what would happen. So why I was leading into that was this, is that the gangs would start messing around on one side, and all the cops would go there. The rest of the gang would go to the other side where there were no cops at and cause their trouble over there.
Oh my goodness!
They used to decoy between the two sides of the track. They'd set up something on the east side to distract the police. Well, they actually did all their work on the west side, where there was no police to cover them. So that's what my home city turned into.
My goodness!
They turned into a point where there's two high schools. There's Bishop Guilfoyle, the Catholic school, and there's the Elton area high school, which is the public high school. It got so bad that they actually put a police substation inside the high school with drug dogs on site at all times.
Wow.
With drug dogs. And they actually had a canine unit stationed right in the high school. Yeah.
Wow.
That's how bad.
And I thought Coughlin was getting bad.
No. No, it puts Coughlin to shame.
Shame. Goodness.
And
gracious.
Believe it or not, Altoona and Wilkes-Barre, the same population right in the mid-50s. 50,000 people. So
that sounds about right as to why they're awfully similar.
Yep. So and I'll be honest with you, all I have left back there are cousins. I have no future plans of actually ever going back to Pennsylvania for anything.
I'm in that same situation. A couple of cousins here and there, but
I don't plan to ever go back there. All my aunts and uncles and well, them are dead. So I have really nothing back there. Now my sister lives in Vineland, New Jersey. That is my next planned trip north here within a couple years, is to actually go visit my sister, who I haven't seen probably since 2013. So yeah, I haven't seen my sister in like 12 years. It's coming down probably next year to take the trip back, go to the Jersey Shore for a little bit just to see how disgusting it is compared to the Gulf.
Hopefully it's not too bad. Hopefully it's one thing that sustained its decency.
You never seen, you know, have you ever been to Jersey Shore?
I've been to Jersey, not Jersey Shore.
Blackish brown water, or brownish green water. You know, it smells like
ew.
New York City trash. Smells like New York City trash. Yeah, it's disgusting.
So it just smells like the rest of New Jersey.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when I saw Panama City Beach for the first time, I thought I went to paradise.
Sure.
I remembered what the Atlantic Ocean looked like in Jersey compared to what it looked like down in the Gulf, and it's like, holy crap.
No, I didn't even know water could get this blue. How about that?
Yeah, right? That's the absolute truth. Well, you've been to Myrtle. Have you been to Myrtle Beach? Since you
absolutely.
Live up there?
I've been to Myrtle Beach tons. Yes, sir.
So you know how disgusting the water really looks there?
Yeah, like a murky mud color.
Well, darken that up quite a bit, and you've been to Jersey Shore.
What?
Yeah.
The darker the brown, the worse you know the contamination is. That's disgusting.
Yep. Yep. And you got to figure Jersey Shore is only miles off of Manhattan.
Yeah. To think this place got glamorized on TV.
Yeah, right?
Awful.
But anyhow, I'm going to let you go. I got to go out and do my errands and let
my dog
go.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well,
I will be talking with you. This is your number, right?
Yes, sir. Actually, this is my office business phone. So it's
okay.
Like the jack in the wall kind of phone. The number that I was texting you from, that's my office cell. So you can text me there. I'll be able to look at that anytime you send in a text message. Cause this phone, you know, it doesn't receive text messages or anything like that. And I might be on call with another client. So just, you can text me, for sure.
Okay. I will definitely text you.
All right.
And
excellent.
I'll
boy.
Get a hold of you that way, because I'll be speaking with you in the next week or so.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it here. I do have all notes in. I did send over that breakdown for you. So
yep.
The only thing next time we follow up here is discussing next steps.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Excellent, Boyd. Will you take care? We'll be catching up here really soon, okay? It was great speaking with you.
Well, one of the things you'll learn from me is when we do talk, I always have a joke of the day if you ever want to hear it.
Yes, actually, please. Anytime.
Okay, so this man's driving along and he blows a tire. Well, he has to pull over, and when he pulls over, he pulls right in front of an insane asylum. He's sitting there taking the lug nuts off the tire. And realize when he's all done that all the lug nuts fell down the storm drain. He's trying to figure out how in the heck he's going to get this tire on to get home. When he hears this voice coming from the asylum yard saying, "Hey, buddy, why don't you take a lug nut from each one of your other tires and put it on that tire and you'll get yourself home?" He goes, "You know, I would have never thought about that. Hey, I thought you were all crazy." He goes, "We may be crazy, but we ain't stupid."
I don't know why, but insane asylum jokes are always the best ones.
Well, here's one. Do you have anybody you like to play pranks on?
Basically,
or make somebody the butt of the joke.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so why did chicken cross the road? To get
why?
To the idiot's house. To get to the idiot's house. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The chicken.
Oh my goodness, I'm taking that one for sure. Oh my goodness, that's the ultimate troll.
I mean, if you want to open the joke up to somebody, just say, "I bet I can call you an idiot," and you'll laugh about it. So.
Oh my goodness, I got a cramp in my rib. Okay.
Yeah, I got that from one of the managers of another Sonic location. That's a good friend of mine. He played that on me, and I felt hook, line, sinker. I was stupid enough to say, without even thinking about it, "Who's there?" I didn't even think about
who's
it.
Who's there? I didn't either. I was caught up in my laugh.
And it's like, yeah, of course, it's that. My first reaction, of course, it's the chicken. But now my brother, he caught it right away. He goes, "Chicken, go home."
Oh my goodness. We don't want any. No solicitation.
Well, Aubrey, you have a blessed day, and we'll be talking soon.
Absolutely. You as well, boys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.